Greetings, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, and it's the Galactic Red Pill Hour, and we've got some really interesting things coming up. We've got a great guest we're going to bring in just a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about a heads up on, we talked about on the 16th of December how that wave of energy came through, and again, we had people calling and emailing and saying, what is going on? And a lot of counselors were saying that a lot of their kids were having spontaneous openings and awakenings, and they were kind of walking them through it and explaining to them what was going on. So that was quite interesting, and that energy has been building, and we're getting the information that on the 23rd, there's going to be another one. So if you haven't processed the last one, this next shift is going to get a little even more intense. So a little heads up for that. And you can see this happening in changes on every level, you know, the physical, political, economic levels. And you're going to see a lot of the spiritual awakenings too at the same time. So there's going to be a lot of change and some chaos going on, but it's part of the process. And it's really good to get out in nature, take your shoes off, get grounded, readjust with the energies, you know, the earth energies, and to get through these times. So on that note, my guest tonight is Carolyn Corey, and she's a futurist, filmmaker, international speaker, and visionary. She's author of best-selling books on consciousness and quantum healing. And as a child throughout her life, Carolyn has always been deeply connected to spiritual topics, the study of consciousness, mechanics of the universe, and the discovery of the divine. Her love for music and performing arts, however, leads her career into the live events industry. In 1990s, Carolyn works as creative director and producer of many large-scale international sporting and musical events for worldwide audiences. In 2003, Carolyn shifts her focus back to her all-time passion and true calling, merging media and entertainment and the arts with spiritually quantum healing and higher consciousness. In 2010, Carolyn founded Omnium Media, which is a new style of experiential immersive entertainment for planetarium audiences that heighten the sensory perception of the viewer and allows for profound expansive experiences. In 2012, Carolyn writes, directs, and produces a short film and her first animated feature film, I Am the Universe. She's also written several feature and TV pilot screenplays. Her latest accomplishments include writing, directing, and producing a feature-length documentary called Gods Among Us. In addition to writing and producing, Carolyn has appeared as guest expert in numerous live and television shows on supernatural phenomenon, including seasons 9 and 10 of the History Channel's popular series, Ancient Aliens. So without any further ado, I'm going to bring Carolyn on the show. Carolyn, are you with us?
Hi, James. Yeah, I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, welcome to the show. It almost sounds like our paths are so similar and our interests as well. It's kind of like where to start. And I know you've got some new films out recently. Did you want to talk about the projects you're working on now, or you can take this wherever you want. Basically, just consider it your show.
Yeah, actually, the intro that you just read is a little outdated. It's my fault.
Okay.
Yeah, I should know better. But sorry. Actually, I've already the film that you mentioned, Gods Among Us, is was re-titled. We changed the title to ET Contact. And this film came out last year, and it won 9 film awards. So I'm very excited about that. And currently I'm working on a different documentary called Superhuman, The Invisible Made Visible. So it's not so much about extraterrestrials specifically or UFOs. It's more about contact with other realities and just the mechanics and the science behind these phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm at.
I think most people miss the boat when they're looking for UFOs and, you know, they're going to these places like Area 51 and things like that. And that does happen. There is back engineered technology there and things like that. But you know, the big picture is more interdimensional and spiritual. And I find that so many people miss the boats, how you know, you read all of our ancient scriptures and the practices and everything goes back to the stars when you get, you know, to the end of that line.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that has been my focus actually since I was a child. I wasn't seeing UFOs. I was seeing beings and angels and archangels and those types of light beings throughout my life. So that's kind of how it started out for me. So in fact, I was wondering what people were talking about when they mentioned grays and like all these kinds of things associated with UFOs. It's much, much, much later that I was able to have those experiences, but that's because for me it started with having direct contact with those light beings. It's really exactly what you said. It's more about consciousness and spirituality, and the UFO phenomenon fits within that. It's kind of like one part of the story. Mm-hmm. The bigger story is really about consciousness and our spiritual contact with these interdimensional beings. So I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, I've seen now, in being in this field for quite some time, I think I really got into it heavy around 82 and around that time. But watching the field unfold and, you know, seeing it, we still have the nuts and bolts trying to say it's all government, it's all back engineered, you know, it goes back to Germany, and that there is a lot of that going on. But I'm finding that now they're starting to open up to the interdimensional stuff, but they're still mainly focused on grays and people abducted and Roswell and things like that kind of negative experiences. And now it's finally starting to open up to more of the realization that contact comes with enlightenment, that when you're on the path to enlightenment, eventually you're going to come across these beings. And we have a saying, you know, just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent, and just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened.
Right, absolutely. And you're right, because this contact has to do with vibration. So when you speak about enlightenment, you're speaking about having a different frequency, vibrating at a whole different spectrum, and that's when you have contact with those interdimensional beings. So I totally agree with you. That's what's been my experience, you know, throughout my life, and this is really what it's about. It almost has nothing to do with UFOs. You know, so it's like yeah. You know what I mean? It's like you're coming in contact with other beings and realities in a direct way, and then the UFO is like a separate subject almost. You know what I mean? Mm. So yeah.
Well, like we have it's what I found out is that they're kind of come synonymous. It's like we, the inner earth beings, you've got some like fifth dimensional elven beings and things like that, that they're not part of this dimension, but they have their ships, and some of their ships are just Merkabahs. They're a collective consciousness they travel around in. And in the ancient Vedic scriptures, you read about that, and they said, you know, some ships are physical, and they talk about the weapons on the ships and everything else, and some ships are pure energy, and then they talk about Merkabahs and light ships and things like that, but they cover the whole spectrum. And I see, unfortunately, so many people focus on the physical side of things, yeah. And they don't realize it's a multidimensional experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, because I've been doing this my whole life, working on consciousness, but more importantly, like the mechanics of consciousness, how does it really work, you know? Mm-hmm. And within the construct of earthly reality and beyond, I talk a lot about a multidimensional grid patterning system that allows different experiences. So, you know, it's basically three grids within a grid, within bigger grids and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. I won't bore you with these details. But the point that I want to make is that some of the experiences have to do with, again, being in a different spectrum of frequencies. And when you are in that range, you can see actually the different beings turning into ships. It's almost like their light body becomes a ship. Mm-hmm. And that allows them to teleport, to transport themselves from point A to point B within the planetary grid structure instantaneously. However, when you are coming from a different grid pattern, a different planet or a different planetary system altogether, you do require an actual physical ship to use different parts of the interplanetary structure, if that makes sense. But then mm-hmm. once you are within this planetary grid, you can transport your whole body. Your body becomes a light. So it's like two different things happening for different reasons at different times. And the idea is to not categorize, like not to say, okay, all aliens come on ships. Well, no. I mean, yes and no. You know what I mean? So some of them come on ships because it depends where they're coming from and what they're doing. Others are already within this planetary spectrum, and they're moving their bodies instantaneously, like we were saying, through, you know, mm-hmm. these light ships. And so it's different. There's just so much going on. It's multidimensional, and it's a lot more than just UFOs landing and things like that, like what you're saying. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree. Some people ask, why do they need a ship, you know? And I said, well, why do you have a washing machine, you know?
And, yeah.
And I said, what are they going to do, leave you in space? I mean, they can't have a conversation with you and teach you. They got to have a place to take you where you're not going to freak out, you know? So, you know, it's just a tool, basically.
Yeah, and again, it depends where they're coming from and what they're doing and where they're stationed. So, mm-hmm. you know, some ships can come and go and, you know, into specific points within our planetary grid, within our airspace, so to speak. And, you know, but then they can't hang there. They can't stay there. So that's why you see like all kinds of coming in and out and all this erratic motion, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But other light ships and light beings can pretty much stay, you know, within this Earth plane for a very long time, of course, in a different spectrum of frequency. Mm-hmm. And so it depends. And so both serve a different purpose. So we can't just say it's only this way or just that way. You know, it's all of it and everything else in between.
Well, I think that's one of the problems within the UFO field, and one I've had some extreme resistance to, because, you know, like I was saying, like we were talking about earlier, one group will say, oh, it's just nuts and bolts. It's back engineered, you know, stuff. And another bolt group will say it's all negative. And, you know, the religious groups will say it's all demon, you know. And then you got the kind of the new agers saying it's all love and light, you know. And I kind of cover all the different aspects of that. As we were saying, it's a multidimensional experience. And they all have different agendas. And some have our highest and best good in order, and they want to help us to ascend and awaken and heal the planet, and others have different agendas which might not be in our highest and best good.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And in fact, I had both experiences. So that's the reason why I know that both exist myself directly. And also I've been working with like hundreds of people because I got into the healing and the regression, mm-hmm. you know, for the past 15 years or so. So I've been helping a lot of people, not just UFO abductions, but all sorts of trauma and things like that. So many have had encounters and spiritual experiences that are also traumatic and nothing to do with UFOs. So it's a whole range. Mm-hmm. I mean, you learn so much. And so, you know, the folks who are focused on one category, one thing that, you know, it's all mechanical and it has to do with government cover-up,
yeah.
all, you know, negative. That's maybe their area of, you know, research and understanding, and the other groups are focused on something else. But one does not negate the other. Like I said, I've witnessed both sides. So they're all true, but none of them is just the final story. It's not the end of all, you know. So
it's
important to keep an open mind and to just keep listening to what others have to say, you know.
I agree. It seems like there's just a lot of ego involved and a lot of people that have a big investment in their truth being the only truth, and they want to keep their group together, their only group together. And I really see people all the time saying they're all good, they're all positive, they're all, I hear that all the time, and I go, actually, they're not. And then they go, well, you're not very enlightened because, you know, you're talking about the dark side. And I said, well, enlightenment means to be in knowledge of all of it, you know, both sides of the coin. And I get that a lot, you know, and you get the spiritual ego, you know, and the narcissism, and then you can't do anything with that. But it's kind of sad that people cannot work together. And actually, at the International UFO Congress back in the early 90s, I did a talk about how we all have a piece of the pie, and none of us have the whole pie. And we need to start working together and cooperating, put all of our pieces on the table if we really want to understand the big picture. And I got a standing ovation, and everybody was so happy about that. But then I wasn't asked to come back for about 6 or 7 years. So I guess I stepped toes, you know. But
You know, it's like it's the human nature, I guess. It gets old after a while, honestly. I mean, it's like, it's kind of like the scientists. I'm working a lot in the science field as well. And then, you know, a lot of scientists are so resistant. You know, if you're proving something, you're showing them results that will challenge their understanding, you know, something that they've been working on, they're just not going to accept it just like that. So unfortunately, we are working for, it's supposed to be anyway, for the higher good of humanity and to enlighten humanity. So if we want to be right and everybody else must be wrong, then it just goes against that principle as far as I'm concerned, you know. And I think it's part of the discovery is also to overcome the ego. It's not about, you know, what you know, it's about the information that you're bringing through. How is that helping others? And another thing that you mentioned that I think is very important is that you know, because I've been also, like I said, I've been helping people, but also teaching the process of expanding consciousness and how to perceive the subtle energy yourself and discern the different energies. And as I'm working with different groups, you know, I notice people are saying, well, I want to see, I want to have that experience, this interdimensional contact and so on and so forth. But as they're saying that, I also feel a lot of resistance, the fear, you know. And then I realized that people want to know the truth, have these experiences, but at the same time, there's that fear. And I noticed that the fear is actually about knowing that once you tap into these realities, once you see, you cannot unsee. You know what I mean? Like, once you begin to have these experiences, you're going to see it all. And there is some good stuff and not so good stuff. And I think on some level, people know that once you open up to that truth and that level of understanding and experience, you're going to see some pretty, you know, crazy stuff and ugly stuff and, you know, and fearful stuff. And so you hold yourself back and you just hold on to the one thing that makes you feel good. So that's kind of what I've noticed myself as well.
I notice that happens a lot with people because I always tell people, you know, they want to go remote view. We do, John Vivanco does remote viewing. He's here right now. And we do a lot of work on that level. And we take it to the next level. We take it up a notch. But I noticed that when we remote view some of these things, especially if you go to the moon and underground facilities there and there's grays there and things like that, they tend to follow you back. And so you better know how to maintain your frequencies and your energies, your self-authority, and how to heal unseen negative influences. And I tell people the first thing that we teach people is how to maintain your self-authority and heal any unseen negative influences. And even before anything, that's the first foundation we teach people, because without that, you can get beat up playing around in those other dimensions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you. Once you tap into their consciousness, it's almost like they know, they can see that you're looking at them. And
yeah.
So, and that's it. You made contact and they know, they can see from the other side. So absolutely. I think it's so important that you're teaching the protocol, you know, the right way to maintain your space. So because it's not like, yeah, like you're saying, once you open up, you see it all. And so you better know what you're doing.
And yeah, we've had ceremonies here, and, you know, we've had elders come here from all different, you know, nations and things and do ceremonies. And some of them were very enlightened and very tapped in. And some of them actually brought in some energies that were not so good. And so we had to, you know, clear those energies out. And you know, a lot of times when you're doing a sweat lodge or something and you welcome all your ancestors, well, not all your ancestors are in good shape. You know, there's been a lot of trauma, especially in the Native American arena there to the ancestors. And so, you know, sometimes you get traumatized ones that come in. So I've always said, let's start out, let's welcome the enlightened ones, like White Eagle or Buffalo Cap Woman or something like, let's bring in the higher dimensional beings and see if there's anybody that needs help first, and then go to the next round, you know. And
yeah, exactly.
It totally changes. It changes everything when you do that. And I've seen there's a lot of people doing ceremony that they'll go and they'll do one ceremony with somebody, and then all of a sudden they become the master, and then they start teaching everybody else, but they don't have the foundation down. And
yeah.
And I've seen that too. I'm curious what you think about a lot of the ayahuasca stuff, because I've seen people have these ayahuasca parties and things like that, and they come back with all these hitchhikers on them, you know, because they didn't have a spiritual foundation going into it.
Yeah, you're talking about those mushrooms and all different.
Yeah, ayahuasca.
Things, you know, all kinds of, yeah, the ayahuasca, yeah. So, I mean, to me, this is all in the same category. I personally don't like any external substance to have an experience, even if it's a natural substance. The reason being, I personally had direct contact and direct experience since I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And I did, of course, I didn't smoke anything or drink anything, you know, it just kind of happens. And so I think your consciousness knows how to tap into these reality without anything at all. And so why do you want to train yourself to use a substance if you can train yourself to do it entirely purely? That's my take on it. You know, so I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I've got a lot of heat on that one. And the same thing is, I had a couple near-death experiences and I was blown wide open. And you know, but you don't have to drown yourself to do this. But I know there's safe, natural practices, and energy can be transferred to others to help them to open up. But it needs to be done in a sacred space, a very clear space. And I don't use any drugs or anything else. It's like, to me, they're not necessary. And I have enough on my plate already without the drugs. I mean, I see enough being out there.
Yeah. And I've been training people for many years, like yourself. And so, and I see, I mean, and they have the same experiences without anything. So, I mean, why complicate your life? And also, it's all about cellular memory. I mean, you're training your brain to absorb a substance so that you can have an experience. So, I mean, I understand if a lot of people are resistant, but I would rather focus on this resistance and address the resistance and release the root cause of the resistance in a natural way, as opposed to try to, you know, like kind of go, you know, use like the back door, you know, like just take a drug, feel better, and then you'll know where to go. Anyway, that's my take on it. It's entirely pure, and it's absolutely beautiful. Like you said, you have enough on your plate once you know how to make it happen naturally.
Yeah. I think people are programmed. they want drive-through enlightenment. You know, they want to drive through it and happen in a weekend and take a pill and become enlightened. And you know, they don't want to really do the foundation necessary. And I've seen, too, without that foundation, like a lot of the drugs, it's like blasting you into a realm you're not prepared for and you don't have the foundation to handle. And that's where you get all like LSD and things like that. You have all the crazy flashbacks and people turn into all kinds of creatures around you and just weird stuff because you're not under control. The drug is. And I've seen that happen over and over again where people just really, you know, and then later on they can't do it naturally because I don't know. It seems like a lot of them, like even with marijuana, and this is going to be pissing people off too, because everybody's into that. It's the same thing. I think it locks you into a level. And
of course,
you think you're in enlightenment, but you're not. You're just in the astral level. And if you keep doing that, you're kind of stuck on that level and you can't get beyond it. And any master yogi will tell you, look, you know, 40 days clean. No drugs, nothing for 40 days, and then I'll teach you, you know. And so people don't realize that, you know. I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for that one, too, but it's just what is.
You have to speak your truth, and I appreciate that, James. But, you know, for what you said, first of all, you're programming yourself. You're programming yourself that you do need that drug or drink or whatever to achieve that experience. And by the way, I don't call that enlightenment. I mean, the fact that you all of a sudden you take up something and then you feel that you are the entire universe and you feel the universe being you and every cell in your body. I mean, this isn't just one experience. That's not my definition of enlightenment. I mean, I don't know. Everybody has a different definition for enlightenment. But for me, enlightenment is a whole process. It doesn't happen in one weekend, you know. It's like
exactly,
it's really, really, you know, I mean, we're talking about maintaining a high vibration, you know, on at will, like instantaneously shifting from this to this, mastering the human mind, fighting the mind instantaneously, understanding your original essence, how you got here. There's just a lot that you need to master to call yourself enlightened. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, so that's why, like, there's no such thing as taking a pill and becoming enlightened. Not in my book, anyway.
Only thing that I have seen is that if somebody's really, really messed up and they've got a major addiction going, or things like that. I've seen some of these DMT centers that actually take them into all their trauma and everything else, and they actually come out better for it. But again, if they would take the time to really face their trauma, and there's other natural ways of doing it. But I think in some cases, it helps if you know, they're probably not going to do the other route anyway. So it does get them to a certain level and get them past some huge blockages, but still, I think the natural way is the way to go.
Yeah, I totally agree. If you want to have an experience through that for you to discern what that's like, it is what it is. But probably for people who have never, ever had an authentic natural experience, you know, they may want to try this to have one experience, just to know what, you know, what to look for, what to ask for, perhaps. I don't know, but it's still not enlightenment. I mean, to me, it's a whole mastery, I mean, of your consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's a whole, you know, story. But anyway, so I'm glad you're talking about this. I think it's very important, Jen.
Yeah, I do too. You know, the ceremonies, ayahuasca ceremonies and things, basically they're usually done with a shaman, and I'm not talking about a drugstore shaman, a real shaman. and the guy is very adept at holding frequency, holding space, clearing negative energies. That's their job. They've been doing it probably for generations, and they do it like maybe one time a year, two times a year at the most, and they do it in a sacred place or you know, in the jungle or things like that. It's probably the proper way to do something like that. But I've seen people just, it's a business now, and they're just cranking people through and then people come back and their life just goes to hell, and they've got all these entities attached to them, and their health goes to hell and everything else. And they, I don't know what happened. I haven't been the same after that, you know? And I said, well, you picked up some hitchhikers.
Yeah, exactly. And there's plenty of those. You know,
oh, yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Yeah. Why open the door for them? You know, they're all waiting anyway. Why open the door? You know, it's,
exactly. And any sort of drug, whether it's natural or not, you are not really in charge of your consciousness because you're kind of out there. And so if the protocol is not in place, then you're opening yourself up to all sorts of entities and energies. And, you know, to me, this is part of mastery, understanding the mastery of the human mind, to know exactly what you're getting into, for sure.
Exactly.
In fact, I tell people also to do what I call spiritual hygiene, you know, like to brush your teeth, to take a shower every day. You have to cleanse from whatever you picked up at Costco or the gas station or even at a restaurant. I mean, at the end of the day, you picked up stuff. People are not trained to discern energy, the stuff that jumps on you, you know, without you even knowing. They feel all of a sudden weird. They don't know why. They kind of think it's going to go away. But, I mean, there has to be something in place, a spiritual hygiene kind of protocol that you people should get used to doing every day. Flush your system out of any energy, whether you're aware of it or not. Just say, I'm cleansing my body, you know, for any space from all of it. Yeah.
It's not a bad idea to pull some sage out every once in a while and do clearings and go around your house and cloud any of the dark corners. You know, we had a space over here, this one corner, and we just cleared it out. And it seemed to be like a little kind of a dark portal. I don't know what was going on in that corner. And some people gravitated to that room that all kept having problems and everything. And we kept clearing and clearing. And then we just cleared it out again, and it feels so nice. And we just moved everything out of that corner and saged it, cleaned it all, put a crystal in there and a pyramid. And now it's like it's totally holding. It's the first time it's actually holding that energy. And it feels really good to go over to that corner now. Before, everybody would avoid it. It was this part, this little corner in the house that everybody, you know, would avoid. And I don't live in that part of the house. I have my own place. And so I kind of forget about it. But, you know, we finally took it on and cleared it out this winter. But it's good to go around your house. And if it doesn't feel right in that house, you know, clean it, sage it, you know, do some energy work there and put some crystals in there, charge some crystals or something.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think the problem is, you know, nobody teaches this stuff. Like as a child, nobody tells us, okay, there's something beyond your physical body. There's energy. There's this. When you have thoughts, when you have emotions, these are all forms of energy. I mean, nobody tells us any of this. And so, you know, and so by the time we're 20, we're a mess, we're suicidal, you know, by the time we're 30, 35. And then, you know, we hit a wall at one point, usually in the 40s, and then suddenly we go on this spiritual journey. And then by then we have all our belief systems and everything else that you have to kind of work on. So it gets very difficult if you're not told at a very young age to become sensitive to these things. And then some children, unfortunately, who are sensitive, they're told to turn it off.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate as well. So, you know, I'm so glad that, you know, you're paying attention to these things and helping people, you know, to have those types of protocols in place, for sure.
Yeah, I work with a lot of psychologists and university professors and they take a course, and then they, because they can't really do that within their framework, you know, they frown on that to deal with, you know, clear out past life traumas or or influences and things like that, it's you know, they're told to start doing that, you know, they're in big trouble. But a lot of them will come here and learn how to do it. And I've seen a lot of times that people that are suicidal, they have just multiple entities on them. And I don't think you can commit suicide by yourself. You need you need some heavy, heavy influence to actually go to that level. And it's sad that so many people, all they need to do is learn how to heal unseen negative influences. And you know, I've done that with people that were, they were scheduled, you know, for the rubber room. You know, they were going to be committed. And I just showed them how to clear the energies and work with the light ones and get rid of the dark ones. And that's all they needed to learn. And now they're doing counseling. They're living in Hawaii. They're sending me postcards every Christmas. You know, things like, and it's so simple to do this stuff. And you wonder why there's so much resistance within the framework, you know, the you know, basic psychology, that they won't address this.
Well, I mean, I'm a trained psychologist, and I'm not doing anything from what I've learned in college. I mean, because as a psychologist, it's kind of like you're trained like a doctor. So you have a list of symptoms and a list of kind of, if you have this and this and this symptom, then this is what you're struggling with. And, you know, it's very like by the book. It just doesn't, it's very academic. I don't know what better word to use. You know, it doesn't address energy or consciousness or anything like that. So I think that's the reason why there's so much resistance. It's just beyond the regular understanding. But also, you know, something you mentioned that's so important to me is it is 1,000% accurate to say that every single person that I've seen having suicidal thoughts or who did commit suicide, there's always at least one big entity attached to them. It's very difficult. It's almost not in the human innate nature to self-destruct. It's almost like it doesn't exist even at a DNA level. If anything, the programming, the original programming is it's survival. It is to self-heal, self-repair, self-maintain. That is the original programming. So for all of a sudden, for that original programming to turn into self-destruction, there's interference going on. And every single time, you know, I work with people who have suicidal thoughts or with parents who've had a kid commit suicide, every time I see, because I see the soul energy very clearly, I see those entities, it's so clear. It's over and over and over and over. So I can definitely tell whoever's listening, this is definitely the case. And like James is saying, like you're saying, it is so easy to just focus, whether you know it or not, whether you feel it or not, whether you understand it or not. It is there. There's influences all over the place attaching to you. And just do the cleanse. Just say, I want you out of my face from every cell in my body. Like, what do you have to lose? It is so easy, you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I have photographs of an entity coming down over this woman. And you can see his face and all these different levels of him on the woman. And then you see all of like her past lives coming forward, different faces around her. And she got really sick and ill sitting in front of this hotel. It's like this old abandoned Santa Cruz hotel. And so, you know, they called me up and asked me what was going on. And I go, oh, man, you've got some entities. And we looked into it. And he goes, yeah, this guy died of a drug overdose. And he's very, very morbid in his consciousness, and he has huge addiction problems, self-worth issues, everything else. I said, you're feeling all that. It's not yours. These are not your thoughts or your emotions. And we cleared it, and she got well instantly, you know. And so she told her husband about it, and he goes, oh, that's all nonsense. You just believed in it, so that's why you got well. And so he took a picture of her. He didn't realize he got his film developed. And he looks in the picture, and here's this guy, and right above her with the levels and everything. It was just so clear. And then he still was skeptical. He went down to the police department. He said, "Did anybody die in that building?" And they said, "Yeah, a young man just died of a drug overdose in that building." And he showed him the picture of the guy's, you can see his face, and they go, "Yeah, that's him." Yeah, that's,
oh my God,
that's him. You know, so you got validation, and you've got the camera, you've got the police validation, and her personal experience, you know. Yeah. So when people believe, and I show that in my presentation, I tell people, not all your thoughts are yours. And we have a saying, if you don't like what you're feeling, do a healing. It's that simple. Like stop, back up, clear the energy, and then see what's left. And you'll find out most of the time, and it's the sadness or anger or sorrow, whatever you're feeling, a lot of times isn't even yours.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And guess what, too? I noticed this with mental illness, so especially schizophrenic. So when somebody tells me, you know, my brother is schizophrenic or whatever, well, there's an entity sitting right there talking to you. And yeah. The words that the person is hearing is not coming, it is coming from that entity. But like you're saying, because we're not trained to think that way. So the person that's hearing the voices right away thinks, oh, I'm crazy, or somebody's talking to me, but there's nobody there, therefore I'm crazy. And of course, everybody else tells them the same thing, when actually it's just an entity just talking to them. And so it's kind of sad. I don't know how you feel, but you know, there's like, it's so simple to just work through all of this. And I don't know why it's so difficult for people to just be open to it sometimes, you know, it's so simple.
I've just seen that it's one of the major things I've been really stressing to get out there. And, I just don't know why there's so much resistance to it. And I think a lot of the resistance comes from the entities themselves that are influencing the people. But, it's like everybody's, you know, they want to pop the pill. They want to isolate you. They don't want to take the time. And a lot of that is a lot of the kids that are coming in that are really enlightened now. are dealing with this stuff, and I have to teach their parents how to clear them until they learn to clear themselves. And I think that's part of parenting, you know, enlightened parenting, is that the parents really need to learn how to clear this energy. You know, a lot of times when these kids are having nightmares and screaming and crying, you know, they're pointing at something, and there's something there. The parents just can't see it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Imaginary friend or monsters under the bed or
yeah.
I mean, it's all there. So
I'm screwing the door in.
Yeah, go ahead.
And I was saying, when I was a little kid, I was actually screwing the door to the outside into our bedroom, so nothing could come in, screws and everything. And my dad came in. He goes, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm keeping the bad guys out." And he says, "Well, I think screws are a little overrated as far as keeping them out, you know." But just do some prayer, you know, just say some prayers, you know, and ask for them to ask your whatever guide to protect you and things like that, which was great. My dad had all kinds of contacts, amazing. He saw all kinds of ships, and he'd pull over and let us see, let us see. So
that's great.
But, anyway, yeah. Looks like coming up pretty close to the end of the hour. What's the best way to get a hold of you or send people to your website to check out your movies and books and anything else you have going on there?
Yeah, so for the consciousness work, healing work, they can go to carolinecorey.com. This is, you know, if they want to look at anything that has to do with healing and expansion of consciousness. But for the film, the last film is et-contact.com, the one that's out now. And the one that I'm working on is superhumanfilm.com. So, and there's contact information on all the websites.
Where are you located now, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, I actually I go between Los Angeles and Utah. When I'm filming, yeah, I'm mostly in Los Angeles, and then when I need to get out of the madness, I come to Utah. Yeah, it's very gorgeous.
I've never been to where you are.
Yeah,
you have an open invitation. You've got to come up and check this place out, because we have everything from Mary appearing here in Kuan Yin to Bigfoot cruising through now and then. And it's always positive. You know, we keep the other stuff out, but we've got ships almost every night. And we have a huge light door that opens on the mountain, and things come in and out, you know, everything from ships to beings. So it's pretty interesting place, but people that are sensitive that come here, it's like a little piece of heaven. You know, a lot of people cry when they leave here because they don't want to leave.
Well, did you say you were able to catch something on tape, or are you able to photograph something?
You can see it on the website if you go to the ESETI.org website, or ESETI Stargate. Okay. On YouTube has some really good footage. That's probably the best one. But you can see the ships coming in. They're coming in, you know, treetop level, and there's, you know, 100 to 200 people on the ground. Sometime you hear everybody cheering, and especially the ambassador trainings that we do here and the self-mastery classes, the ships are always attracted to that. And when the people come out in the field, they put on quite a show.
And the beings too, that the interdimensional beings, you've been able to catch something on camera or in a photograph.
Maybe because
all the documentaries and the films that I'm making have to do with some sort of interdimensional contact. So that would be interesting. I'm going to check out your website for sure. And I will see, maybe we can do something together at some point.
Yeah, we have actual photographs taken by a Taoist monk here of Kuan Yin and Mary appearing, you know, and during a self-mastery class, everybody felt their energy come in, and some of the women were crying and everything. And this guy does 21-day dark retreats in a cave, and so he's very visionary. He pulls his camera out and takes a picture, and a beautiful picture of Mary right above the group, and it's undeniable when you look at it. But when, you know, we've had photographs of Babaji, and we have a being coming out of the mountain that's about 200 feet tall. He's a light being. He's walking towards the camera, but we're filming him with infrared, so we have infrared spotlights and night vision, and we have a lot of gear here to where we can actually see into the other dimensions, and we can film orbs real time, you know, where you can see all these orbs coming in and interacting with people, like light spheres and things like that.
That's great. Have you also tried full spectrum cameras? Is that any better or different than infrared,
full spectrum. And then we use PIP technology, Harold Oldfield's technology. Mm. And we actually filmed the counselings and the counseling work we do, and some of the gatherings that we do where we, you know, open up to the higher dimensional beings. And you can see all these light shafts start coming in. And in the counseling sessions, you can see the light coming in like a tornado. And it's like a golden light, and then everybody's bodies pixelate into light, and that's when you can heal things very quickly and gracefully. But it's all been measured and documented, you know, with some of the latest technology.
That's great. Yeah, I would love to take a look, and I think this fits perfectly in the film that I'm making right now. Actually, maybe I have to take a look. I'll look at the website and the photographs, and I'll be in touch for sure.
We can send some of those to you. We also teach Yigong out here, which is a really ancient form of Qigong. And in the process, I have photographs of people actually vanishing. You can see right through them and see the chair behind them and things of that nature. So it's a lot going on here. You know, it's hard to catch it all. I mean, we don't catch hardly anything compared to what's really happening here, but we get enough of it.
That sounds great. Yeah, fun.
Yeah, when they power up, everybody in the field, you get pulsed. You feel the energy, and it's a heart pulse. You feel it in your heart, and everybody gets really giddy. They get really giddy and really happy, you know. And they're usually Palladian ships that come in, but we have other ones that come in as well. But it's definitely an interaction that we tell people, come and have your own experience. Don't believe us. And a lot of people go, what, do you have a cult going on there? And I said, no, we're all free thinkers. There's no guru here, you know. You know, we're just we're just doing our own thing, you know, and sharing information, basically. But there's nothing.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Keep sending me the information. Yeah. And how close do the ships get, or the beings or the ships, like how close do they get, like, so people can...
I've been on them, actually. But they you know, they've landed here a few times. That's pretty rare, but, you know, they're treetop level. And some of them are very large and they're treetop level. On my birthday, I asked them to fly over, and one flew over right over my place where I'm at and powered up, and it was undeniable. You know, we got the whole thing on film, and everybody felt the pulse because it was so low that, but it whited out the screen, you know, when it expanded.
Do you have a sense of where they're coming from, or are they based here, coming and going, or what types of being they are?
Yeah, they're mainly Palladian. The Orion Council of Light come through. There's Sirian ships that come in. They're golden. Some of them are very ancient. They're ships that have been around forever. They're all different. There are different beings coming in now. We're having contact with like 11th and 13th dimensional beings right now. And some of them are the benevolent Anunnaki that are returning to take care of the fallen, the fallen ones. You know, so, but we cover that in all the, when I speak at the conferences, I show all the different groups and who's who and kind of who to avoid, you know?
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I'll definitely take a look. Sounds great.
Yeah, check it out. See what it feels like. I know you'd be like a kid in a candy store here if you came here. You'd definitely have
great.
Have fun. We have everything. We have little fairies cruising around here too, and photographs of them, and a little bit of everything. But it's a portal. It's a vortex right here, and so the veils between worlds are very thin. And whatever you're into, you know, people experience usually.
Yeah, that sounds great. I mean, do you have anything that shows the actual space itself, like the warping of the space or anything like that? Like, it's almost like, you know, it's a vortex, but is there something that shows kind of like the layering of the space itself?
Yeah, we do. We have ships actually creating their own little wormholes and opening up and going in and out. And we have actually blue portals that open up first, and then the beings come through them, like Mary and some of the other beings like that. We have photographs of that in Kuan Yin as well.
That sounds good. Yeah, if you can send me things like that, of that nature, that sounds great. We'll see how we can include that in the film.
Sounds
that
good.
Be great.
Hey, unfortunately, we're out of time, so I've got to head out right now. But I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and we'll get you back again because I know we just touched the tip of the iceberg here. But it's been a great show, and keep up the great work, and stay on the line because we have a little bit more to share.
That sounds good. Thanks so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Great. All right. It's James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent. Good night.